Well, a pleasant good morning, beautiful Lord's Day. One more time on this side of eternity, we have the opportunity to gather together, worship. My prayer is that Holy Spirit of God will be pleased to anoint this service, anoint His Word, our giving, our sharing, our hearing. I was blessed by Brother Sonny's application of leaves. It's only been a few years ago that I learned why leaves fall off. And that is that I understand that the leaf falls off because next year's buds are already coming and push them off. And then I understand why some of us have to leave to make room for the next generation. I failed to mention, I guess, last night, not that it's all that important, I guess, but we come from the Garbers congregation. That's an old congregation, goes back to the 1800s. Of course, it was originally part of Lancaster Conference, and a lot of churches in those days were named after people. In our community, we have a church called Hostetters, we have a church called Bears, we attend Garbers, there's Lancaster County, there's Mellingers and Weavers and Hernleys, and a lot of churches were named after people. The Garber Church, the ground where it sits was given by Hilda's grandfather, who was the man by the name of Bear. But anyway, we're glad to be here and worship with you today. We've been assigned these topics about the life of Joseph. Joseph last night was as a obedience as a son, and today it's the matter of Joseph as a slave, integrity as a slave, and then tonight compassion as a ruler. Now you can open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. The span of life from Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold as a slave. And so we tried to look at his life up till the 17 years. And now we look at it from 17 years till 30. Joseph was 30 years old when he was released as a slave and became a ruler. So in this time, we don't know how long Joseph was in Potiphar's house. We don't know how long he was in prison. But there's 13 years from the time that he went to Egypt until he was elevated to be a part of Pharaoh's kingdom. And that is in Genesis, beginning at chapter 39. And verse 1, and it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." Now, we're looking at history a little bit, and this is quite a lengthy passage here, chapter 39, chapter 40, 41, over to verse 38. accounts in this period of time when he was a slave. Now, last evening, this is a new congregation for me, but if my comprehension is correct, I see a number of people here that weren't here last night. And I shared a very basic principle last night that relates to all three of these, and I don't want to be redundant, but I am going to take the time to share that again. This is a basic principle of understanding on these matters of how we live, the matter of integrity, the matter of compassion, the matter of obedience. And that is this. I suggested that how we think determines our values. And our values determine our choices in life. Now, this is very simple, but it's good for us to understand this. And now this morning, and last night, but this morning especially, in this matter of integrity in the life of Joseph, we're talking about, I'm suggesting that how we think, we determine our values, and we live out of our value system. We live out of our convictions, out of our thoughts, out of the things that are important. And so this matter of integrity is a value. Joseph made right choices because he had values. And he had those values because of how he thought. And last night I asked the congregation to think about how, what contributes to our thinking. And I put a box here like this. This is to represent, as an illustration, this represents a corporate table. And there's, at the head of the table sits the CEO, and around the table sit the men, and they make decisions. I want you to think about your mind in that concept. And we talked about, think about the things that influence our thinking. Because what influences our thinking will determine our values. And we talked about the idea, of course, that how a Christian thinks and how a non-Christian thinks is entirely different. And because they think different, they have different values and make different choices in life. And so each of you today, each person here, has a set of values. And how you live your life, in daily life, how you live your life, the choices you make day by day, big choices, little choices, are all dependent upon the values you have. And the values you have are depending upon how you think. And how you think, how we think, are influenced by many, many things. Last night, some of the congregation suggested that parents have a tremendous influence in our thinking. That's true. Our relatives have an influence. Our culture, our neighbors, what we read, what we see. Social media has a tremendous influence on our thinking. And so I had you to think about that to underscore the fact that it is extremely important, while all these things influence our thinking, it's extremely important who or what sits at the head of the table. We're influenced by our feelings. We're influenced by our relationships. But to make this as brief as I can, I tried to make the point that truth must sit at the head of the table. And whether I use the word truth, whether I use the word God, whether I use the word Jesus, whether I use the Holy Spirit, I mentioned last night that you cannot separate God from Jesus and from the Holy Spirit and the Word. Those are all the same, synonymous. When one speaks, the other one speaks the way one thinks, the other one thinks. And sometimes you hear people say, God told me. That's a pretty dangerous statement. Because what God, when someone says, God, what? Told me, you want to perk up your ears and listen to see if what they say God told them is in harmony with the Word of God, in harmony with Jesus, in harmony with God. If it's not in harmony with the Word, if it's not in harmony with Jesus, if it's not in harmony with the Holy Spirit, then it's not what God told them. It's what they imagined in their mind. And so truth, of all the things that influence our thinking, truth must sit at the head of the table. And the reason that Joseph was such a sterling character in this issue that we're talking about this morning of integrity is because he thought right. And something influenced his thinking. We have no idea. Maybe it was Jacob. I would think his father had a lot of influence on him. But because truth sat at the head of Joseph's table, he thought right. And so this is just a little concept I want you to think about.
All right. This matter of integrity is the result of having convictions for the Word of God. It's possessing, I have truth there. It is living with the fear of God. Living with a definition I like of the fear of God is an awareness that God is aware. living with a continual awareness that God is aware of what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, living with awareness that God is aware results in conviction. And conviction, nobody's born with conviction. Conviction is something that grows. And as we grow spiritually, our convictions grow. And so integrity is part of our value system. All right, first of all, I'd like to go to Genesis chapter 39. We'd like to begin here. We did read the first verse. And you notice that Joseph had integrity. It said, and you notice, I mentioned this last night, four times it mentions in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that was in his hand to prosper. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. He made him overseer over his house and all that he had put in his hand. Joseph was a man of integrity. The Bible says here that all that was in his hand is prayed to prosper. As a slave, or an employee, actually as a slave, he sought, his integrity caused him to seek to make his employer prosperous. And this man saw that all of his hand. And whether you're a worker today, you work for somebody, your goal needs to be to make the boss prosperous. That needs to be the goal. And we don't serve for selfishness, we serve to make the boss prosperous. And he did that. And you notice it said the Lord was with him. The second thing we noticed about his integrity that it had to do with this account with Potiphar's wife. Verse 7, it came to pass in these things that his master's wife cast his eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in this house. He hath committed all that he hath into my hands. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How did Joseph make that declaration? Here was a young man, and he was red-blooded, just like any other young man is. And he was away from home. And he could have thought, well, you know, nobody's ever going to find out. I'm 500 miles from home. My parents won't find out. But what was it in this man that he had that in integrity that produced purity when he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It's because that was part of his value system. Moral purity was part of his value system. I don't know what all this temptation was like, but I'm apt to think it was more than just a few words. In fact, the scripture indicates that day after day. Now, women who want to entice men know how to do that. And I would think that she dressed rather immodestly. She presented herself day after day after day to this young man. And he said, he was a man of integrity. He said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? You know what happened? He was put in prison. He was lied about. She lied about him and put him in prison. But verse 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph. And friends, regardless of what happens in life, you know, it's, I don't know if you had ever had anybody lie about you or not. Does that feel good? You know, people can say a lot of things about you, but if they lie about your morals, that gets down to the quick, you know? That gets down to where it really hurts. And here he was lied about, put in prison, didn't get a chance to go to court. All this hassle we've had in the last couple of days over the judge being nominated, he didn't get a chance to defend himself. Just put him into jail, and there he is. Not a chance to even make a plea. But it said the Lord was with him. And friends, that makes all the difference in the world. Regardless of what you go through, tough times, people can lie about you. People can say all things about you. But if the Lord's with you, that makes all the difference. You will notice in the third place that he had integrity in relationships. He was in the prison. And in the prison, the prisoner, the guard, put him in charge of the other prisoners. Now, if you know anything about prison life, and you work with prisoners, prison is a place where crime is hatched. And those fellows teach each other how to cheat and how to lie, how to escape, and all those things. This man was of such integrity, even though he was cheated, lied about, in prison for the wrong thing, and for all he knew, he'd be there the rest of his life. And yet, he was a man of integrity that the leader of the prison could trust him, that he wouldn't try to plan a coup, wouldn't try to plan some kind of escape, wouldn't work with the prisoners, maybe even put the jailer to death. He was a man of integrity. And it says in verse 23, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. I don't know how you prosper in prison, but whatever he did, but the Lord was with him. In the fourth place, I noticed that he was a man of integrity as far as a witnessing or thinking about who got credit in his life. Go to chapter 40. Now, in the meantime, here in chapter 40, now he was in prison. Now he was the head of the prison. The prisoner guard put him in. And in chapter 40, we're beginning to see some dreams. And the butler and a baker got under Pharaoh's skin, and so he just threw him in the jug. And after they were in jail for a while, why, they each had a dream. And the one said, you know, I have a dream. Verse 8, he said, we have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter unto them. And then Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And you have the chief butler. Now what I want to notice is, Joseph gave all the credit to God. He took no credit for himself. He said, God is the one who can give dreams, and he can interpret dreams. And so you notice, the one had a dream of three branches. And Joseph said, this is interpretation. This is interpretation God gives. The three branches are 3 days. And in 3 days, why, you're going to be restored back to your office. And the next man had a dream, and he had a dream of three baskets. And birds came and picked out of the top baskets. And he says, interpretation of your dream is that in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to take your head off of you. And that's what happened, see. But you notice, whenever Pharaoh had a dream, and you're acquainted with his dream, he had a dream of 7 fat cows, I forget which it was, 7 fat cows, 7 skinny cows. The skinny cows ate up the fat cows. He had another dream of 7 ears of corn, 7 big ears of corn, pine ear, you know, big ears, and then 7 skinny, which was some other brand, and the little ones ate the big ones, and say, and what's all this about, see? Now, I want you to notice verse 16 of chapter 41. And Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Part of Joseph's value system here was humility. Someone has said that pride is taking credit for what God and others have done in my life. Joseph took no credit to himself for his ability that God gave him. And so that was a matter of integrity. And that takes us to verse 38. Yes. 41:38 is the last. It says, and this after Pharaoh, after he interpreted the dreams, it says, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a man, such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. And that was the end of him being a slave. Now, that's the history. But I want to think about this matter of integrity, the quality of integrity. It's the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. Some synonyms for integrity are honesty, rectitude, honor, good character, ethics, morals, righteousness, morality, virtue, decency, fairness, scrupulousness, sincerity, truthfulness, trustworthiness. You've heard the expression of a certain man, he's known to be a man of integrity. Integrity is the foundation of which all meaningful relationships are built. If integrity is gone, everything is gone. The relationship of marriage, the most intimate relationship among humans, is based on integrity. Proverbs 31 talks about the man that the woman, that the heart of her husband doth faithfully trust, he doth trust in her. And what when if there's no integrity, if the integrity is lost in the marriage, it's pretty well over. Integrity in business. It's important. We'll talk about that. Friendships. You have friends. You have close friends. There's different levels of friendship. And there's people that, you know, you can talk to, and no matter what you tell them, you know it's safe. Okay? As a teenager, very few people want to believe this, but I was very backward. I was very timid. I had, I guess, what they would call a complex today. Any behavior you have some kind of a complex, you know. And so I had what they would call an inferiority complex, whatever that is. But anyway, I was kind of bashful. And I was getting to be, I got out of high school. And while I had friends in high school, but I still, a part of me was bashful. And I was getting to be, 18 years old, and when you're 18 years old, whether you want to admit it or not, but you're thinking about, the boys are thinking about the girls, whether they want to admit it or not, but that is, you know, I was thinking about the girls, and I thought, you know, I had my eye on, especially the one that's sitting here today, and I didn't want to mess this up, and I didn't have any idea how you would ask a girl for a date. I had no idea. And I was too ashamed or whatever to talk to my friends about that. They think, what kind of idiot are you? And so I couldn't talk to anybody about that. There's one person that I could talk to, and that was my mother. Now, my mother had some issues with health, and she had three boys and one girl, and the girl was way on behind, so the boys had to help with the housework once in a while. And when that came up, opportunity came up, I volunteered, because it gave me some time alone with my mother, and I could ask her any question I wanted to ask her, and I knew it was safe. She would not tell her sisters. She would not tell anybody else in the family. If I wanted to ask her a question, I knew it was safe. Now, you can have close friends, but that friendship is based on integrity. And if somebody betrays you and loses that integrity, the friendship is over. I'm trying to talk about the importance. In government, what's happened to integrity in government? More than half the people in the United States do not trust the government anymore, government officials.
Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I'm suggesting that in all relationships, that integrity is paramount and is the must. And when integrity leaves, the relationship leaves. And that's why this country is in deep trouble. I have some results of some research. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of statistics, but I think this is a couple years ago. How much money do you think is stolen from businesses by employees in the United States in a year? How much money do you think is stolen by employees? $10,000? $20,000? $100,000? $500,000? $50 million. $50 million is stolen because of a lack of integrity from employees. Percent of annual revenues lost to theft and fraud is 7%. 75% of all employees have stolen at least once from their employer. 37% have stolen at least twice. It is said that business bankruptcies, that 33% of all business bankruptcies are because of theft by employees. You wonder why our nation is in trouble. 27 million shoplifters, 1 in 11 people in our nation today. More than 10 million people have been caught shoplifting in the last 5 years. Now we look at the life of Joseph. There are other examples in the Bible. Integrity, Abimelech, Job. We looked at Joseph, David. And today, I'd like to look at some few scriptures. Turn with me to Job. Job, the word integrity is used in the book of Job a number of times. You can turn to Job chapter 2. It says in the second chapter, the third verse, this account of this interaction between the Lord and Satan. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now, Satan had just countered God and said something like this, you know, you look at all your people down there and there's nobody that serves you. They're all serving me. And God said to Satan, well, did you consider Job my servant, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, even though thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. Now, this is after Job went through all this. Now, Job kept his integrity. Job is a rich man. 7,000 sheep is a lot of sheep. He had 3,000 camels. Now, camels were a beast of burden. And if a camel held maybe 1,000 pounds, I don't know. But it would take 60 semis to haul what Job's camels was. So this is a big businessman. He had 60 semis. He had 500 yoke of oxen. That'd be 1,000 cows. That's a pretty big operation. He had 500 donkeys. And that was what they hauled people with. And that would take 10 buses or 70 minivans to haul what his donkeys had. And so here he lost all this. And the Bible said he lost it in a day, see. Then God said, this man holds fast his integrity. You remember what his wife said? You know, you might as well curse God and die. And he said, you talk like one of the foolish women. How could Job, with all the circumstances around him, how could he hold fast his integrity? I'm suggesting to you, because of this situation right here. Yes, in verse 9, his wife said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. In Job 31:6, Job said, let me be weighed in the balances, that God may know my integrity. Let him weigh me. And then in Job 27:5, he said, God forbid that I should justify you. And then he said, till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Now, I don't preach just out of responsibility. I preach for results. And I want this to be your mantra. And I want you to say this with me. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Say it with me. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Say it again. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. I want that to be part of your value system. I want that to be part of your thinking, part of your commitment, that till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. I want you to say it again. Now I want you to say it again and put the emphasis on will not. Okay? Can you do that? All right, very good. So that's the purpose. That's the purpose of this message today. I want it to be ingrained in your thought. I want it to be part of your thinking that integrity is important. Integrity is what God is about, and it's part of your value system. And all the issues that you might face, that will be a paramount foundational part of your fabric, that till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me, regardless of the decisions I make in life. Now there's another example. Genesis chapter 20, we have Abimelech. You know, Abraham went down to Egypt, and there he must have had a good-looking wife, because he said she was fair to look upon. And Abimelech wanted to take Sarah. And Abraham, to save his own hide, he thought maybe that Abimelech would kill him so he could have Sarah for his wife. And Abraham lied, part like a white lie. I think they were related, but he said, she is my sister. And Abimelech, when he found this out, he said, said he not to me, she is my sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. And he said, in the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands have I done this. Now notice what integrity does for a person. And God said to him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. He had taken her to his house, but he did not touch her, and God said, because of your integrity, I didn't allow that to happen. You see what a blessing it is to be a person of integrity? That even God protects you from issues if you have a heart of integrity. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. 1 Kings 9:4 talks about David. He said, God was talking to Solomon. He said, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, and do according to all that I command thee, and keep my statutes and my judgments. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy 25, verse 13. Of integrity. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thy house divers measures of great and small. But thou shalt have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination to the Lord thy God. Psalm 7:8. Psalmist said, the Lord shall judge his people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me. Psalm 15:4 said, blessed is he that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Psalm 25, 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for thee. Number of verses that speak about David's integrity. Psalm 78 says, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, so guided he them by the skillfulness of his hands. A lot of verses in Proverbs speak about integrity. Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. The integrity of the right upright shall guide him, but the perverse transgressor shall be destroyed. Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips is a fool. Proverbs 27, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Proverbs 20:14 says, a man says, it is not. He said, I appreciate what Brother Sonny mentioned during Sunday school about this man that gave him $60 extra. You know, the man that says, you know, it's not worth it. And then after he strikes the deal, he brags about how good of a deal he got. It's like Sonny said, you know, or somebody commented, maybe the Sunday school teacher after Sonny made that comment. You know, it's people talk about a good deal. It is not a good deal unless both people profit. My father taught me that lesson by example. I remember as a youth, we were remodeling the dairy barn, and he went and bought dairy equipment from a dealer in town. And my father got word that this dealer told someone that he didn't make any money on that deal with Harold Herr. That bothered my father, and he went to town, and I don't know what all he said, but he told that man, look, I want you to make money too. And so it's not a good deal. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you like a good deal? If you love your neighbor as yourself, it's got to be a good deal for him too. Is that right? If you love your neighbor as yourself? And I'm sorry, but I've talked to a number of people that are in business, and they tell me that some people that have the brand Mennonite are the hardest people to deal with. God help us. God shame us. We should be the easiest people to deal with. I don't know what for word you use, but sometimes people use the word Jewing people down. Why they call it Jewing people down, I don't know why they don't say what. But anyway, maybe that's something with the culture there. But see, I don't believe that a Christian should work somebody over to get the price down. The man can say what he wants for it. You have the right to say what it's worth to you. But to work somebody over and make them think that it's not worth that, I don't think integrity allows us to do that. In our interest in evangelism, in any community, I've observed this. If you have in your church men who are known to be hard drivers and, you know, crunch for the pennies, and if you have young people who are interested in high-powered cars and drive like that, you might as well forget about evangelism in that community. Just forget it. Our people are watching. But you have young people who are committed young people who keep themselves pure, and you have businessmen who, men of integrity, that are not only concerned about their making money, but concerned about the people they deal with making money, you have a foundation to witness to people. I'd like to give some examples of integrity. Now, I go back, you know, I'm kind of an antique now. I'm a 37 model. And so I was a child during World War II. And that was a scary time. I remember the air raids that we would have when
all the lights would be put out, and you were to sit in darkness until the sirens would blow. And when they blew, everybody was to get off the streets. The towns were to get dark. They outlined all the lights. Towns were completely dark. Houses were to have all the lights out. And I remember being in town in a store when the whistles blew. And there we were in this store, and they outlined all the lights, and there we sat in the darkness. You know, what go through our mind, are the Japanese coming? See, this was in preparation for possible bombing raids. And you thought, are the Japanese coming? Are their airplanes going to drop bombs? And the fear of that. And things were rationed. There was gasoline was rationed. You got a sticker on your car, an A, B, or a C, and depending on what your sticker was, how much gas you could get. Farmers could get more gas than anybody else because they were producing, they needed gas for their tractors. That was before diesel tractors. Sugar was rationed. You could only get so much sugar. And so this lady wanted to do canning. And in those days, maybe you still can, I don't know if you're in business, but they get sugar in 50-pound bags. You don't see them in grocery stores, but you can get sugar in 50-pound bags in those days. And she wanted to get some sugar to do canning. And so she told her husband to go to the pantry and get their 50-pound bag of sugar and put it on the kitchen table. And she goes to town and asks for sugar. And she said, well, how much sugar do you have? She said, the only sugar I have is on the kitchen table. Say, integrity? No. The Bible talks about this matter of integrity. It says, not purloining. Maybe you know what that word means. But it has to do with stealing. It has to do with embezzling, especially from employers. Titus 2:10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God. How do you adorn the doctrine? But what does it mean to adorn the doctrine? Well, we talk about adorning in, has oftentimes to do with how you look. And people can adorn themselves to get attraction. How do you adorn the gospel of God? How do you make the Bible attractive to people? Well, by how you do business. You're showing good fidelity. How about being late for work? Do you notice that people that are late about everywhere they go? They're late for work, they're late for church. I don't know if they were born late, but I have a relative that was late everywhere he goes, and I won't use his name because you might know him, but long before he died, he was known as the late George Weaver because he was late everywhere he went. See, now his name wasn't George Weaver. Okay. What about talking on the cell phone when you're on the time clock? Or texting? Or visiting with employees when the boss is paying you to work? Is that a part of integrity? Yeah, being late for church, late for committee meetings. If you're on a committee and you meet at 7:30 and it's 7:45 every time this brother shows up, you know what? You're stealing. You're stealing from your brethren. That's their time. See. Keep your word. Accurate represent products in sales. Selling, buying. When you trade your car in, there's a reason you're trading it in. It's because it's working perfectly, right? Tell the man. We have a grain dealer who lives about 2 miles from us. And I was unloading grain year before last, standing in line. And I'd been there before. And he didn't probe our loads. I was hauling for somebody else. But the man before me, he said, we probe every load he brings in. He said, he'll put wet grain on the bottom and dry grain on the top every time. Happened to be a Mennonite. You think it's easy to witness to that dealer? One man, for the lack of integrity. Being truthful, a council meeting. You have council meeting here? You have time when before communion that the members get opportunity to say, I have peace with God, my fellow men, and you're in harmony with the church? Is that, you do that? Okay. You know, there's people that go out to the council room and say yes, 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 and have absolutely no intention of living it. Now, remember in the book of Acts, when Ananias and Sapphira didn't have integrity and they lied to Peter, and Peter said, you didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost. And I wondered if God would bring judgment today like he did on Ananias and Sapphira, how many people of us would be alive if he knocked us down dead because of a lack of integrity? If you're in agreement, say yes. If you're not in agreement, say no. At least integrity requires that. Do not say yes and then live by another standard. We're living in tough times for some people. Dairy farmers. We have a dairy farm. I'm not involved anymore. I don't sign the checks. I don't make it happen, but I'm close enough to know what is happening. And it's tough. And dairies are almost dropping like flies. Our milk hauler lost 4 shippers in the last 2 weeks. And some are filing bankruptcy. We might be on the verge of experiencing what people call the Great Depression. Now, nobody here remembers that, I guess. I'm a child of the Great Depression. I was born during the Depression. And there was a man, that's a neighbor man. When I was a youth, he was an older man. And he went bankrupt. And my father told me this story, that they had sale, and you know, farmers usually have a wagon where all the little stuff is on. And he said, before the sale, this man got up, and he said, gentlemen, today is a very sad day for me. He said, there's a lot of people in this crowd that I owe money. And he said, you know and I know that this sale will not bring enough to pay you. But God giving me strength, I will pay you. A man had sale, picked up a lunchbox, went to work, worked as a laborer for years and years and years, later got back into farming, and paid all of those men back. Now that's integrity. See, our bankruptcy laws today make it legal to be a crook. That man was not able to pass that on to his son. His son went bankrupt at least 3 or 4 times and didn't need to pay the people he owed money to and go back in business under another name, and did that 3 or 4 times over in his lifetime. My brother made a negative comment about that man and said that when they bury him, they'll have to screw him in the ground because he's so crooked. And so integrity is an issue of life that we are responsible. I know a man that faced hard times in the hog business. He wasn't as big as the hog farmers are today, but this is 20 years ago. He had 1,200 hogs, and he went bankrupt. And he said, it's not my fault. I can't help the price of pigs went down. He felt no responsibility to pay his creditors. It's a lack of integrity. My word needs to be good as my bond. We keep contracts, whether they're verbal or written. We live in a time when businessmen tell me, you know, to sign contracts, you can have contracts that thick, and they aren't even sometimes worth the paper they're printed on. But as Christians, our integrity should be such that what we say we will do and be responsible for what we say. Oh, what's our phrase? Did you forget it? Till I die.
I will not.
Oh, it's getting weaker. We're already forgetting it. Try it again. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me.
Integrity is important in every way of life. It's important in church administration. Reporting accuracy. I appreciate our churches. By and large, we have integrity, but there have been incidents when integrity was not involved. And the church cannot prosper if people aren't men of integrity. How about your income tax returns? The government, our whole tax system is based on a man's integrity. You can fill out your own. You can read the laws. What's deductible? What isn't deductible? But integrity calls us to be men and women of integrity. One more time. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me.